I think it's worth learning. If you know paid social, learn paid search. If you know paid search, learn paid social, where a growth marketer is defined as someone that can play in both spheres.
Welcome to Honest E-Commerce, a podcast dedicated to cutting through the BS and finding actionable advice for online store owners. I'm your host, Chase Clymer, and I believe running a direct-to-consumer brand does not have to be complicated or a guessing game. On this podcast, we interview founders and experts who are putting in the work and creating real results. I also share my own insights from running our top Shopify consultancy, Electric Eye. We cut the fluff in favor of facts to help you grow your e-commerce business. Let's get on with the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Honest E-Commerce. I'm your host, Chase Clymer. And today, I'm welcoming the show, Jake Madoff. Jake is a freelance full-stack growth marketing leader. He's helping e-commerce and service businesses increase their revenue with paid ads using Google, Meta, YouTube, TikTok, and more. Jake, welcome to the show.
Great to be here. Excited to talk through some full stack solutions.
Yeah, I'm excited to get into it. So obviously, these days, you are out on your own. You've hung your own shingle, as they say. But talk to me about your history. How did you cut your teeth in this business? How did you learn? You know, how'd you end up where you are now?
Yeah, started kind of like the classic startup-y route. I had two startups of my own about 10 years ago that got some funding. One was a e-commerce, kind of an affiliate revenue-driven e-commerce shop, and then the other one was an iOS trade and barter application. So the affiliate revenue e-commerce site really taught me the fundamentals of margin, of SEO, of just what is an affiliate program. For that, I leveraged, at that point it was called CJ, or I think they changed their name or got bought by like Awin or something at this point. SEO, where I was like really trying to compete with pretty significant players in the space, where I was ranking for, the classic style of product listicles, which now almost every big publication has. CNN has their spinoff. NBC has like their spinoff. CBS has their spinoff. They all have like an equivalent spinoff for a product blog, where it's like the best 10 products for dot, dot, dot. And those were the kind of articles I was writing and trying to rank for and collecting affiliate revenue for. And then TradeMade was an iOS trade and barter app that taught me kind of the more core fundamentals of paid media. And then parlayed that into working for Bespoke Post, where I worked for about 5 years and led growth there. That was fantastic. I started in 2017. We were spending, maybe $200 or $300 a month in ads. And then we scaled up about $2 million a month in ad spend, and acquired hundreds of thousands of subscribers. And I really like to say at Bespoke Post, any channel that you can run ads on, we ran ads on it. I mean, we tested everything from direct mail, podcasts, Reddit, Quora, Meta, YouTube, Taboola, content marketing channels, offline, online, core channels, experimental ones. And then over the last several years, over the last several years, more prominently, have been working more on the freelance side. I've worked with over 100 brands like Come Nutrition, Home Chef, Hims & Hers, Trademark Engine, just really ranging the gamut of e-commerce, B2C, and employing full stack solutions across ads on Meta, YouTube, Google Search, and I'm finding really great success in just an omni-channel approach now, and I'm really enjoying that strategy of having omni-channel approaches going forward.
That's amazing, Jake. I want to go back to the beginning a little bit, and because I've been reading a lot lately, especially around startups, and I feel like something that maybe is not as obvious to young entrepreneurs is they have a cool idea and they build their product. This could be a physical e-commerce product. This could be like a SaaS tech product, right? And they get caught up on perfecting this product when the number one driver of success for a startup, I'm learning, is sales, right? And it's you get those sales through marketing and advertising, which is what you kind of were learning how to do by, because you had to. What advice would you have for marketers out there that have a startup and they are struggling to kind of find product market fit or struggling to find those initial customers?
It's a great question. Some of it is case dependent. I actually, funny enough, just had this conversation on another podcast called Amazon Legends, where I was saying how there are some marketers that are more object-driven and some of them more process-driven. So I would say, like, take a step back from the product itself. If you're finding some degree of a failure with a given product launch, take a step back and really start doing more consumer research, seeing if it's price, if it's a feature of the product, if it's an application of the product. But once you get those insights, really just test and do it. I see a lot of the time this kind of analysis paralysis where you almost make perfection the enemy of moving forward, in a way where you want it to be perfect by the time you launch, and you just keep delaying. And I find the best solution is really just, if it's close to there, just launch it, let your consumers tell you. And there are a lot of services you can use to get that feedback pretty quickly. Usertesting.com is a great one for that I used even at Bespoke Post when we were launching new product features. But at the end of the day, just push it out if it's close and collect that feedback over time, and you can iterate. Nothing is permanent, you know, and it's good not to be wedded to something either in the early stages, because it will change. It will absolutely change.
Absolutely. And shout out to User Testing. We use that for CRO stuff at the agency as well. It's a fantastic tool that has a lot of different use cases.
Yeah, totally.
Awesome. So thank you for kind of asking that straightforward question about, you know, and I'll tell you the truth, listeners. I know some of these answers before I ask them, because I know the right answers from smart people. And I just want to kind of always bash that over the head that perfection is the enemy of progress. Like Jake said, just get out there, get it in front of people and get feedback. That's the only way that you're going to get to that next level for your business. Let's talk a little bit about Bespoke Post. Is there like a story or like something that you did there that stands out to you during that time that was really like, wow, like I know what the hell I'm doing?
Yeah. Great question. There was really so much that was done at like the channel level, the creative level, the targeting level. I would say like three big insights that I took away from that, where I was like, damn, that was a cool idea and something that I'm still using today. One is building high value lookalikes. So, you know, 5 to 7 years ago, lookalike audiences were the gold standard on paid social targeting. Pinterest, Meta, Snapchat, they were all fighting for who has the best lookalike functionality for targeting. Some people would just upload like a customer list just of emails. And at Bespoke Post, we were like, how can we improve this? And we did different SKUs of what we called HVLAL, which are high value lookalikes. Now that idea seems a bit more common to maybe the more experienced marketers listening, but there are different SKUs you can do for your data. So imagine lookalikes where you're taking the top 50% and you're including customer value in that and uploading that as a high value. It's really powerful to do a lookalike on just Amex users. So if you collect payment method and you have that in your spreadsheet, associate a payment method with the email address and upload that and only filter for Amex users. Those tend to be higher quality. So those are like some interesting ones that we really found success with at the targeting level. It's really important also to send the most accurate data as possible through your pixel. So make sure you have conversion API on. We got like pretty playful with it, where we were sending like basically, you know, with a subscription, there are multiple steps of the funnel. So this may not really work for standard e-com, but if you're a subscription e-com, see if you can actually feed the pixel back in down funnel events like first box take rate. If you're a subscription box company, see if you can feed back in not only like the first purchase, but the first box or second box, and feed that information back to the pixel, because then you can actually give that pixel another high value signal. On the creative side, at the time, cinemagraphs were really big. Cinemagraph is a type of ad creative where it's like, imagine an image of a cup of coffee, for example, and you can animate the steam. So everything else is still, but there's one kind of thing, an animation in motion. This was before video was really big. And whenever we started launching these cinemagraphs, and I was building them with a few like animation apps, and they started just blowing up. We would use like our cigar boxes and whiskey. So you do like whiskey smoke with it. And that was doing really, really well. And then lastly, I'd say just from a channel level, it was really exciting and powerful just to test across so many channels, where you just really start to develop an intuition for the personality of these given channels. Although that's not really something that I can communicate in like a transferable way. That was like a moment for me where I was like, oh shit, wow, that's crazy. I feel like I am stepping into the mind of these algorithms where I'm understanding why they're changing. I can drill down to the metric that's telling me, you know, this is why CTR is changing. This is what it means to exit learning. This is what the volatility, this is how volatility looks after you make a big change on an ad set or a budget. And those were some pretty big moments.
Maybe I can help you out there. I would say the people you're targeting on Reddit are going to be insanely different than the people that you're targeting on Instagram.
Yeah,
absolutely. I do want to go back. You were talking about creating these lookalike audiences, right? And so what you were doing is you were using the data from your CMS from like Shopify. Let's just use Shopify, for example. So you're exporting your customers from Shopify, and then you're just finding the 50% that you just filter by total lifetime spend, and you just take the top 50% and you make a custom audience from that. And that's what you're creating your lookalike from?
That's correct. Top 50% lifetime value.
Awesome. And then the other golden nugget there was that Amex user. That I've never heard that before. That's a fantastic piece right there. Not to completely take this off the rails, but last week or 2 weeks ago, we're recording this in February, everybody, Shopify announced their winter editions thing. And there was a lot more information that they put out there about the Shopify audiences. Have you had any experience using Shopify audiences in your ad campaigns lately?
Yeah, I started passing it back into the audience centers across and audience libraries across the platforms. I'm not seeing too much of a difference in just taking like the more manual approach. It seems like it's almost like a faster, more dynamic option versus the manual approach. It's performing pretty similarly so far.
Yeah. Shopify, at least how I saw it, is Shopify is almost pivoting their resources with their network. Because let's be real, Shopify powers over 50% of like the best websites on the internet. And Shopify Payments powers the payments on most of those websites. So Shopify has all that information. And what they are getting into is they are building lookalike audiences that are just like Facebook's lookalike audiences. So now you've got some cooler stuff to play with. And all this stuff can then tie into your email ERP, Klaviyo, or what have you, to do some crazier stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome, awesome. All right, so after Bespoke Post, is that when you kind of went out on your own and started doing full stack for all these other brands, kind of independent of their size?
It is, yeah. I mean, I was doing freelance on the side during Bespoke Post. And then, yeah, once I kind of made that transition, it really started to take off. And I was kind of selling it as I'm bringing, you know, enterprise level experience at big budgets to smaller brands that are maybe spending between, you know, 10 or 5 and 50K per month, working with that small to medium sized e-commerce or D2C business, and then bringing this larger experience over. A lot of that came from, like I mentioned, just the understanding of the auction algorithms, the way you can build modular testing with ad creative. So Cinemagraph is one example. The other example that I've written a few articles on is like building this creative scorecard where you build creative modularly. So like a modular piece of creative where imagine 30-second video, you have the first 5 seconds where you just do different hooks. You stack on the latter 25 seconds. So you have like several versions of these 30-second videos, but all you're doing is just changing the hook because that has the biggest indication. So all these strategies that were fleshed out, tested, and proven over years with large budgets, statistically significant results, which is harder to do with smaller budgets, bringing that over to smaller brands and businesses. And yeah, just over the last, you know, 5 to 7 years, just really enjoying working with a very diverse set of businesses across, you know, health, lifestyle, whether it's like apparel, even working for companies that are selling more, you know, supplement or, you know, Mounjaro, those types of products have been pretty big and interesting to work with. A few companies now like entering into that space. So it really ranges, yeah, from like apparel to health to beauty products, furniture, it ranges. But it's been a lot of fun learning and translating those results.
You mentioned that you'd written some articles. Where can I find those?
Those are on Raisin Bread, which I believe is the marketer hire platform. I'm releasing two on TopTal, and then there are some others on Growth Collective. They're all pretty much around, some are like how to build the perfect campaign structure. Others are around great tactics and strategies for audience targeting and creative that have worked. And in those articles, I include my own case studies as well. So you can see the
references. Awesome. We'll make sure to link to a few of those in the show notes. I feel like I should have asked this at the beginning. Now, what is like the difference for, you know, someone that hasn't hired for this role before? Like, is a growth marketer just an ads guy? Like, what's the difference?
In my mind, it's interesting to see like paid social and paid search, where I do find some people really do like to separate out. In my mind, it depends on the size of the company, but a growth marketer should be full stack in a way where it's not too different, where I think it's worth learning. If you know paid social, learn paid search. If you know paid search, learn paid social, where a growth marketer is defined as someone that can play in both spheres, but that also is not only an expert in targeting and campaign structure, but needs to be an expert in creative. So almost always, whenever I work with a new business, I say, in addition to being a growth marketing technician, where I'm building out campaigns that are configured correctly and that are testing and using best practices from a structure and targeting standpoint, I'm also wearing a performance creative director hat, where I'm working with your creative team. I'm passing learnings to them on patterns that are working in your ad creative, and then giving those learnings and making recommendations for iterations on new creative and new concepts to your creative team. I think having that multi-channel approach with a analytical plus creative approach, those are kind of how much, if I were to distill my answer, it's those four kind of qualities I would say are most important in like today's growth marketer.
And what I'm hearing is it's definitely more of like a partnership, and it's, you're not going to upcharge for your opinion on anything else or helping out where you need to help out, because your goal is the success of the campaign in its totality. Where I feel like some people might be like, I'm just doing the Google ads, leave me alone.
Right. And I'd say the majority of my clients, I'm taking over from an agency. And I often hear sometimes an agency approach, it's like, you know, we stop at, you know, at the purchase per se sometimes, or like some, I've stepped into accounts where they're just running traffic objective campaigns. And that's a huge no-no for, you know, I think anyone that's a direct response or conversion driven brand, don't run a traffic objective campaign. Driving link clicks does not work, but it kind of stops at just the traffic. You don't even follow that user through to check out or purchase. But yeah, absolutely. You know, as a growth marketer, I think for e-commerce, you kind of stop mid funnel. You know, maybe there's a bit of a gray area between growth marketing and retention and lifecycle, but absolutely, like once you get into, you know, you're trying to improve that conversion rate, and that comes with CRO, creative, and campaign structure and targeting.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head, and I want to highlight that as well. I believe it's like you have opinions on what is going on within email accounts, with retargeting, with those as well, because all of that plays into the performance of these overall campaigns that you're helping to architect.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Don't want to put you on the spot here, but a lot of the listeners out there, they're smaller businesses, let's be real. And they've got what you said, maybe like a $5,000 to $10,000 ad budget. Now, myself, I cut my teeth in advertising a long time ago, but I've since, you know, really, we've gotten more into the front end CRO stuff, and I haven't been as much in the game. I don't think I've placed an ad in the last 5 years. I don't know how to do it anymore. But what I had learned over time, and I just want to know your opinion on this, because you're doing this every day. When you've got like a $5,000 or $10,000 budget, what I found was brands were spreading themselves too thin. They were trying to spread $10,000 over five different platforms, and my mind would be like, just put it into the one that works the best, because you're not maximizing the returns on that one. Is that still the right answer when I'm talking to young entrepreneurs?
It is, yeah. I mean, at the margins, there may be a little bit of nuance, but generally, yes, that is the right answer. So if you're, let's say, at the lower end of that range, maybe $3,000 to $5,000 in ad spend per month, that is really about 1.5 channels. So like if you're e-commerce and you're spending in that $3,000 to $5,000 a month range, put probably most of that budget into paid social, primarily Meta, maybe 70% of it into Meta and the remaining 30% into Google Shopping or Google PMax, for example. I would go with that approach and then just get some data on both channels. And then hopefully you're profitable by, you know, day 60 or 90, and you can start to scale and get up into those ranges where you have some budget to play around with for a third channel or increasing budget on your main two channels, which should be your first step, is really trying to find a ceiling on those first before entering a third channel. But yeah, if you're in the middle end of that range, in the 5 to 7 or 5 to 10 range, there you can really have a pretty healthy test bed for, you know, Meta and Google, where you have a relatively mature campaign structure, and you have a few different ad sets that you're testing within each, a few different creative concepts, and you're getting learnings month over month. But absolutely, like, budget is it. Whenever someone asks me, whenever I'm speaking with a client, and they ask, you know, how much should we be testing? What results should we look for? It is always dependent upon your budget. If you're spending more, you get results faster, you can exit learning more quickly. If you're spending less, that just takes longer. But sometimes it is better to do the slow, careful burn, especially if you're not a venture-backed company and you're a small business, where, you know, that is what you need to do. That's also why I like marketing myself as someone that brings that learning through, because I've gone through that with venture-backed companies where we have large budgets and I can just bring those learnings and hopefully just cut out some of the time it takes and bring those kind of winning test variations to these small business owners.
Absolutely. So let's say that I'm a small business and we're spending $3,000 a month now. I got $2,000 in Meta and I've got $1,000 in Google Shopping, and I'm seeing cool results and I'm scaling. You mentioned, like, you should keep scaling until you see diminishing returns, is basically what you alluded to. It depends is the answer for everything out here. But in your experience, what is, like, the range people are starting to spend every month where they're starting to see those diminishing returns, and then it starts to become kind of like a acquisition math equation to whether or not you should continue to grow in that channel? And then that the second thing would be probably it starts to then lean itself into maybe have budget set aside to experiment in other channels like YouTube or TikTok.
Yeah, it's a great question, and yes, I will answer it with it depends.
Like, yeah, I know, man.
But that's just because I know, you know, sometimes someone will really try and give, like, a very clear answer to this, but I want to be as accurate as possible in these answers and use, you know, the experience that I have to answer it most accurately. It depends on the how long the company has been in business, obviously the market fit, the ROAS that you are at, the conversion rate that you're at, et cetera. I would say if you're hitting benchmark across conversion rate, you're at like around a break even or just over break even ROAS, you're a bit profitable, maybe at like a 3.5 ROAS. In your example, it was around $3,000 a month in ad spend. Definitely continue to scale. At that amount, you should still be putting more into those platforms. More into Meta, more into Google Shopping or Google PMax. I would say also part of it is, do you have bandwidth to add a new creative? With paid social, new creative and good performing, not just new, but well-established data-driven creative, that is a big lever too for the performance of outside of budget, where if you have really good creative, that means more channels are available to you. If you have really good 9x16 creative, that means you can try TikTok, you can try YouTube Shorts. So I'd say definitely try and continue to spend. And if you have good creative, if you're hitting your benchmark, if you're at like just over break-even ROAS, at bare minimum, you should be putting a few thousand, maybe two or three into a given channel. But once you hit that, you know, over 5K, over 7K around, you can try introducing a third channel with maybe another 1 or 2K in ad spend and see how that works.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, that was a lot lower than I was in my head thinking. I was like, a lot of brands historically would come and they were doing 10, 20, even 50K a month on Facebook and they're having great results and they wanted to introduce another channel. And I was just like, I mean, just put it into that, and because that clearly works. You know, so that was kind of my opinion. on things. And I guess that could work or it couldn't work. It all just depends at the end of the day.
It does. It's worth testing too. Like I would say a brand spending 10K, they're doing well on Meta. They can weather a moderate test on Google PMax, for example. You know, they can take 2,000 or so and test that as a different channel.
Absolutely. Jake, is there anything I didn't ask you about today that you think would resonate with our audience?
I think just the importance of being multi-channel is something I do want to underscore. I'm not just saying that as a full stack growth marketer. I truly find the most success when like you're doing testing across different channels. And I don't mean just paid. I mean, you're active on organic social, you have an SEO strategy, you're pairing paid channels and paid strategies with organic. It is just really important not to put all your eggs in one basket. You really do want to have email as part of your acquisition. Like it's so important where sometimes I've come in and it's like, we aren't succeeding as a business. And I see like all their time is just in organic Instagram, or all their time is just in paid search. It is so important to have a multi-channel approach to acquisition and growth. I just want to underscore that as a note too, to small business owners listening.
Absolutely. And it's, I've seen this a few times with some fairly successful nine-figure brand founders talking about, they're just like, at the end of the day, marketing is marketing and you need to do it. So it doesn't matter if it's paid, organic, like you said, SEO, earned media, PR plays. It's like you need to, marketing at the end of the day is building awareness about your brand, and all of that stuff compounds into the success.
Totally. And it's a lot easier to have a successful paid social campaign if you have an active organic social identity as well.
Absolutely, Jake. If I'm listening to this episode, I'm like, wow, this guy knows what he's talking about, which he does, everybody. How do I find you? Where are you hanging out on the internet?
Yeah, check me out. If you just Google my name, Jake Madoff, you'll see a handful of the articles. My website is jakemadoff.io. If you just type that in, jakemadoff.io, you'll see my website with some case studies on it. Feel free to submit a form. Happy to kind of do a consultation with anyone that submits. It was great. Great to be here. I love the conversation.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on. And everyone, have a great day.
We can't thank our guests enough for coming on the show and sharing their knowledge and journey with us. We've got a lot to think about and potentially add into our own businesses. You can find all the links in the show notes. You can subscribe to the newsletter at honestecommerce.co to get each episode delivered right into your inbox. If you're enjoying this content, consider leaving a review on iTunes. That really helps us out. Lastly, if you're a store owner looking for an amazing partner to help you get your Shopify store to the next level, reach out to Electric Eye at electriceye.io/connect. Until next time.